Hello and welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. You are listening to KSCO 1080 AM and I am excited to have you here with me this evening. My name is Becca Dukes and tonight we are going to be sharing more about the things that you can do being empowered as individuals to set your life on track for better tomorrows. And tonight we're going to be looking at kids and options with homeschooling. I am so excited to have with me Heather Hagar. She is a board member of the Homeschool Wyoming. She's director of Challenge A for the 7th grade Classical Conversations program. And she's also a full-time wife and mother. She's a Christian, she's an avid reader, a network marketer, and she believes that all things happen for the good, for those that love him and for God's glory. So if you're a Christian, you know that verse. She also believes that the primary education is the responsibility of parents, not the government. And she believes that the knowledge and understanding that she has gained from experiences where she has been able to overcome life situations can offer hope and healing to others. She is a wife, a wonderful man, and she's the mother of two beautiful children. When we go back to things happen for the good, in a future conversation, we're going to be going through some of those things. But tonight, we are going to be focusing on homeschooling, and not just for the benefit of the kids, but we're also going to look at, as parents, how it benefits us. Heather, welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca.
Thank you, Becca. I'm excited to be here.
So share with us a little bit, Heather, about you and your background and what brought you into looking at homeschooling as an option for your children.
Yeah, for my husband and I, we decided on homeschooling like right from the get-go. It was going to be a deal breaker for us getting married if that wasn't, you know, something we could both agree on. So it was something we did talk about right from the get-go. And if we were able to have children, we wanted to have them homeschooled. My husband's mom was kind of like a pioneer in the homeschooling. She homeschooled some of her kids in the 80s when it was actually illegal to homeschool here in the United States. She was actually instrumental in being part of the activist movement to make it legal again. So that was a conversation that we had before we got married. And, you know, 7 years into marriage, no kids. So I'm off doing my thing and he's off doing his thing. And God so ordained it that we do have two children. I have a daughter, Chloe, who is 13, and son, Gregory, who is 12. And we have been homeschooling them since 2014. And, you know, technically, we all homeschool our kids, right? We teach them to eat and teach them to go to the bathroom and teach them to walk. So I believe, you know, we're all homeschoolers. I think being able to just extend that into their education and their formal education is a natural process that we're called to do.
Absolutely. Now, you have not always been a homeschooler. You had 7 years where you actually did something else.
Right.
Share with us a little bit about, you know, your career that you had and the things that you did that may have helped prepare you to homeschool.
Yeah. So I mean, I grew up in Indiana and I'm a product of the public education system. And I also was born to very young parents. And so that was a little difficult for them and myself. But wanting to homeschool my own kids, that was something that came out of my own experiences also. But talk about career, that's what you asked. I previously worked in the banking industry with credit unions and started as a member service representative and then went into loans and then eventually became a financial advisor. And that was my dream job. I worked really hard to get my assets under management and to have a clientele that trusted me with their future and understanding how to save money, how to invest money, and how to stay out of debt. So that was my life before kids.
All very good and helpful things to know. I know there's a lot of people that struggle with that. The fact that you're bringing that to the table and when you're consulting with people is actually a very good asset. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I didn't realize that you were born to very young parents and a product of the public schools. Some of my children relate to you that way. So that's interesting. Just another way that you and I have been brought together to use our experiences. So I can appreciate that. Now, you went 7 years trying to have children, and then God blessed you, one right after another. Share with us a little bit about how that came about.
Sure. It's actually a very amazing story. I was business world. I was part of the Rotary Club. And the year that I was elected president, which by the way, happens when you don't attend a meeting. You get elected into a service position. So anyway, one of the speakers that we had to come talk with us, she was the head of an organization that helped young mothers to have healthy babies. And when she was done giving her presentation, I had asked her, say, hey, if you ever have any of these ladies who would like to choose adoption, you know, let me and my husband know, because we've been trying to have children for 7 years and haven't been able to. So that was that. And that was on a Tuesday. So she called me on Thursday of the same week. And I'm like, hey, what's up? What do you need? You know, what can I get for you? At the time I was, selling a beauty product. And I thought she was one of my clients. And I thought she needed, you know, some mascara or something. She goes, no, you remember what we were talking about Tuesday. I have a mom who has come in and has decided to choose adoption and is interested in meeting you and your husband. And I'm like, awesome. Super excited. I call my husband and he's like, not as excited. He was just a little nervous. And I said, well, why don't we meet her and see how it goes? And it went wonderfully. She loved us and we loved her. And my daughter was born that next Tuesday. So from the time we opened our mouth, on a Tuesday to just kind of inquire that next week, she was born. So that was a definite miracle. And about 5 months later, one of my husband's patients came in and was getting ready to go to a hairdresser appointment. And the hairdresser was going to be talking about a situation that her son was involved in, dating a gal who was pregnant and wanting to also choose adoption, and asked my husband if we would be interested in having another child by adoption. And that was, you know, amazing. And then my kids are 8 months apart. So they get a lot of, are you twins? And they answer back, yeah, we're Irish twins. So they both know the miracle of their birth and their placement. And it has been definitely, you know, life-changing and a wonderful blessing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I've seen your kids and on video quite a bit, and how they interact with you and how they interact with each other, and just the smiles. You can see that they're happy with how God has blessed your whole entire family. I love it. I'm gonna get teary-eyed.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I know I get kind of goosebumpy every time I share the story. And I, you know, get approached quite a bit from other people who are, you know, wanting the same thing. And the only thing I can say is that, you know, it's total God thing. Pray. There wasn't anything special about us. There wasn't anything, you know, yes, we were looking, but we weren't, you know, signed up with an adoption agency. We weren't going through the state. We were just praying and we were blessed.
And that goes all to the verse that says, ask and ye shall receive. You verbally put it out there and it came to you. I didn't realize it was so quickly.
Yes.
But that was definitely a God thing. That's for sure.
Yes, definitely. And I have more on that too, but I'll share another time.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that, because that definitely does open up where I want to go with another program. Now let's go back and circle around to homeschooling. You have become a leader and a go-to in the homeschooling world and community that you are in, which is actually not just there in Wyoming, but is open worldwide. How did you get there? Were you always drawn to that specific program or curriculum? Or have you tried different things? And what are some of the pluses and minuses that you found along the way?
Yeah, so because of knowing we wanted to homeschool from the get-go, we had lots of magazines and had attended different homeschool conferences and was exposed to several different types of curriculum. We have it so good now versus back in the 80s when things were just starting up. There are so many choices. You can really kind of get overwhelmed with the amount of choices. And I had some friends who were using different forms of curriculum. And so I tried, you know, this and I tried that. And my kids were still pretty young, you know, they're like 4 years old, trying to teach my daughter how to write in cursive. I'm like, wait a second. So it's really important to surround yourself by a community of homeschoolers, homeschooling moms that can kind of help you. And, you know, now when I hear those kind of stories, I just laugh because I'm like, oh yeah, I was there. You know, I'm a firm believer, you know, that your kids are going to grow and you don't need to have these, you know, preconceived standards that they need to know this by five, they need to know this by six, they need to know this by the time, you know, they're in eighth grade, that they will naturally just continue to grow and make progress. That was something I had a hard time with when they were really little, because I'm just thinking, oh, I'm supposed to do all of this and I need to do it right now. And they're 4 and 5 years old and, you know, they're in tears and I'm in tears. And I'm like, all right, we're new curriculum and we're not starting for another 6 months.
Well, and that's the nice thing about homeschooling. There's so many different approaches to homeschooling.
Correct.
That you can use a life approach. You can use curriculum approach. And of course, as they get older, they need a kind of more of a structured curriculum. In my eye, I might be totally wrong. I also homeschool, but I use a different approach than you do. So I love learning about different approaches because that even adds to what I can do better as a homeschooling mom. That's going to give my child more opportunities for learning and maybe even find a learning type that best fits him, not just me, because not all kids are the same.
That's the truth. Yeah. My two children are, you know, kind of night and day.
Now with your program that you are involved with, I know that you've got a community. You guys do things together. Is that more in person or is it virtual?
Yeah, it is in person. So we meet once a week and we are able to go over all of the information, and the moms are there also. Usually it's the mom, it could be a dad. And then we model how to teach that information. And then the parents go home and teach that to their kids. So once a week, we have what's called a community day.
So that community day is more for the parents.
It really is. When you look at it, you think it's all for the kids, but in reality, we're teaching the parents, you know, the songs to sing, the different hand motions to use. So they learn a little sign language with the program, because we learn a history sentence, we learn a timeline song, we learn science facts and math facts. And these kids are, you know, 4 years old all the way to 12 years old. So you have some who are just, you know, straight memorizing things, and then others who are more what we call dialectic, who are, you know, putting two and two together and really understanding the information.
That's awesome. I love the fact that it includes music and not just setting a kid down in front of a computer and having them go through a program step by step and moving through a process, that there's more actual physical interactions.
Yes, we spend 30 minutes on music and music appreciation. And then we also spend another 30 minutes on hands-on science, and then 30 minutes for presentations. So they learn how to be persuasive, and they learn how to be articulate, And it's really fun to see the growth, fun to see that, you know, the little four-year-olds that are hiding behind their mom trying to, you know, do show and tell, and then how they emerge and become very confident in being able to speak in front of people.
That's fantastic. Now, as they're learning how to speak in front of people, so are the moms and dads. How have you seen this homeschooling experience in your own growth?
For me, it has really nurtured relationships and friendships, and having, you know, other, you know, moms who are kind of going through some of the same things together. Because of what I've found in some homeschooling situations, they really feel isolated and kind of them against the world. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You can have community, you can have relationship and your support. That's been huge for me. And I think, you know, stepping into some of those leadership roles, at first you're not super comfortable, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. And being able to help new families come into this and know that they're not alone, that it doesn't have to be overwhelming, that they can do it. I think we have this a belief, you know, because maybe we didn't grow up in a homeschooling family, that we can't teach our kids, or that we're not qualified to teach our kids, or we don't have enough education. But we do, you know, and a lot of the learning that we do, I'm redeeming my own education right along with teaching my kids, because half the stuff they're learning, I don't think was covered.
I can definitely relate with that. And, you know, the whole progression of homeschooling. When I first started homeschooling was, oh goodness, 16 years ago. When my third child was very young, I did some homeschooling with his sisters, and some of the requirements just to be able to qualify included having a minimum of a two-year degree. And even with a two-year degree, you had to have some type of, or be within a program overseeing what you were doing. So I know things have changed, and what have you seen as far as changes, or what would qualify a parent to be able to homeschool?
You know, one of the first things I ask parents that come, you know, with the question or thinking about homeschooling is, you know, why do you want to homeschool? And then that really kind of gets to the heart of, you know, how we're going to proceed, how we're going to move forward. And as far as qualifications, you know, I'm a firm believer that if that's a desire that you have, you know, that God's going to equip you to be able to fulfill that desire. Even, you know, we have moms who are, you know, single moms that are able to work and homeschool. And, you know, that is obviously for me not ideal, but it is possible, and you can do it. I think the biggest qualification is the desire and the commitment to seeing it through. I feel like homeschooling is something that you're building that relationship with your child. It's not just about, you know, them learning, you know, their times tables, or learning, you know, the states and capitals, that you are developing this young child. And I like to use the, you know, the greenhouse analogy, that, you know, you have this young plant, and you're, you know, watering it, and you're feeding it, and you're nourishing it, and that it will grow to become strong, that it doesn't always have to live in the greenhouse. I think that's something, you know, a myth that is portrayed with homeschooling, that we try to over shelter our kids. And, you know, I don't know that you can over shelter your kids these days. The world is very pervasive in all of the things that we're surrounded by. But I think if you can give them strong roots, and they will be able to, you know, face the adversities of the world knowing that they're rooted in truth and that they have a relationship with their family.
I agree. I know the first time that I started homeschooling, it was because I found that the school system that we were in, I had a child that had mental or learning disabilities, wasn't mental, super sharp, super, super smart. But she was learning in a different way that the school was not teaching. I mean, she was more hands-on. Her attention. I mean, they gave her all of these titles and really dwelled on the negativity of them. And I'm like, no, no, no. She is brilliant. Let's get her in a position where she's able to thrive, where she's able to learn in a way that she best learns, because in the classroom was not it. And I think through that, her sister also wanted to be homeschooled, wanted to stay home with mom, wanted to learn the same way sister was learning. And then of course, my little guy, my youngest one, he was right in there with them. And we were doing those field trips and really getting out. And whenever they would test in that situation, they tested so well. And previously the test showed that they weren't thriving. So I really think that parents, whenever you have a child that you know is brilliant, but they're just not thriving in the situation that they're in other forms of schooling, that homeschooling should really be considered if it's something that's your desire. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, the parent has to have the desire.
Right. And I've seen that a lot too, even, you know, in my own family also. My daughter, you know, she very well may have thrived in public school. My son would not have, and they're both brilliant, you know, but they do learn very differently. And I knew, had he been in public school, it would have been difficult, you know, with the labeling and the testing. And for me, it's like, oh, I see all of these other things that are so amazing that you aren't even looking at.
Exactly.
And they bloom into themselves.
Yeah, they definitely bloom into themselves. And we as parents have the
community responsibility. We have the recognition. We can see it.
No, Heather, you are absolutely right. We are all of those things as parents. We are given the charge over our children, and we are their very first teacher with the responsibility of providing an environment that our children can bloom and can thrive. And with that, it is time for a break. You are listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Don't go away, as we have more coming up with the amazing Heather Hagler. We'll be right back. Better by the Minute Life with Becca. I invite you to stop by my website, betterbytheminutelife.com, where you will be able to get more information that I have available there that will help to empower you in taking control of your life. There's many different areas of life that we are able to have more control over than we think. And I love the fact that I am able to bring them to you through this radio program and also through my website. Please drop in, drop me a note. You can contact me there. I'd love to hear from you, get some feedback on what you would like to hear more about. On my website, I have a free health evaluation, and I am offering 15-minute consultations with that free health evaluation. So feel free to stop by my website again at betterbytheminutelife.com, and let's see what we can do to help you claim a better by the minute life. We again are here with Heather Hagar, who is an amazing mom and homeschooler who has brought her life in a focus to raise her children in a way that they are able to thrive, not just survive, and really focusing on how they, with their differences, learn. Heather, when we're talking about learning, we also want to look at the things that support the brain. What have you found to be things that really affect your children's ability to stay focused and learn?
Yeah, so they're getting ready to be teenagers. And I think one of the things that is super important is, you know, getting a good amount of rest. And, you know, my kids usually get up kind of early. They get up, you know, between 5 and 6, and then they're usually in bed, you know, around 9. And I think getting a good amount of rest and a good amount of physical activity are both very important for their health. And then of course, nutrition is, you know, very important, and getting them a good, healthy, you know, healthy diet, and not so much sugar or refined carbohydrates. My husband is a chiropractor and focuses on nutrition. So that is something we have focused on quite a bit in our family. So my kids, you know, they're pretty much, they get their little bowl of vitamins that they take in the morning, and then another set in the afternoon. And that's, you know, that's been a blessing to be able to watch them be able to grow in that way. And my husband has a routine that he does with them every morning. So they're learning how to take care of their physical bodies. And then, you know, some other things I think are important that we've incorporated in our family is music. Both my kids have been in music classes since they were about 4 or 5 years old, and they both still enjoy playing the piano, and they're in a, what we call it, a show choir group. In addition to that, that helps them kind of express themselves and be able to, you just be able to perform in a musical way. So those are some different things. My daughter also is very inclined towards art. So that's another opportunity. And being homeschooling is wonderful for flexibility. So I can get, you know, the piano lessons in the middle of the day or the art class that's in the afternoon. So that has been a blessing for our family.
So all of the different things that are available to kids that we don't want them to miss out on. As parents, sometimes we need that direction and reminder of the different things. With the program that you have, share with us, that I know other programs have them too, is resources. Share with us a little bit about your program that you've decided to run with, and some of the resources and how it helps you in providing a more well-rounded opportunity and learning experience for your children.
Yeah, so the particular program that we settled on is called Classical Conversations. And one of the things that it focuses on is to know God and to make Him known. So in many types of education, they put the child at the center of, if you look at it as a wheel, and then you have all the subjects, you know, coming out from that child. In our form of learning, we put God in the center, and then we put the subjects all interrelating to God and then reflecting God in them. So that is a little bit different way of looking at education. One of the wonderful things that classical conversations, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, that they focus on the arts. So we do spend a considerable amount of time learning about different artists in different mediums. And then we also are blessed to learn Latin, which is difficult for some moms to say is a blessing because it's definitely learning a new language. But Latin is the root language of so many other languages, all the Romance languages, French, Spanish, Italian. If you know Latin, you are, you know, way ahead of the game. And also our laws and our medical professions, a lot of the terminology used is rooted in Latin. So those are a couple of examples that makes classical conversations unique, on top of the, you know, community that we provide and resources that we have. It is a international program. So a lot of military families that homeschool will look at classical conversations and find that it's a good fit. They're able to move around into different communities and still be learning the same information.
With the Classical Conversations program, do they have a website that offers information as resources for the general public? Is it just for people that are involved in their programs? What do you know about that? I mean, you are on the board as a member of Homeschool Wyoming and a director of Challenge A, which is a program through Classical Conversations. Does the Classical Conversations offer any type of information that would help people, whether it's a parent, whether it's an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, that would help them in, you know, steering a child in different ways for opportunities of learning? So maybe a newsletter or anything?
Yes, they do. They have multiple resources. The website, you know, classicalconversations.com is wonderful. You can go on there and listen to different podcasts and get, you know, descriptions of the different programs. They put out a magazine once a year that goes over the different programs and then just is a help for homeschooling families, you know, regardless of whether you choose Classical Conversations as your curriculum. They put on a practicum every year for the homeschoolers of the community that are in that area. Like this year, I'll be attending the practicum in late May in Riverton, Wyoming. And those are held across the country. And then I believe, you know, once a year they do an annual convention. The program was developed a little over 25 years ago out in North Carolina by Lee Bortons. And they do a celebration once a year in North Carolina.
I remember, was it last year or the year before, you had gone from that celebration to a retreat that you and I went on when we first physically met?
Yeah, I had just gotten back from a national homeschool conference, which is related to me being on the board for the Homeschoolers of Wyoming. So I serve a couple different hats. So when I field calls for prospective families, I first ask them, you know, why do you want to homeschool? Because, you know, some people homeschool for religious reasons, and some people, you know, want a more secular homeschooling program. So that gets me on the conversation, you know, right away, which direction do they want to go? And then some people are geared to more of a unschooling type of format, and then others would be more attracted to more formal homeschool setting. So the conference that you're referring to was the National Conference for the State Organizations, and that was in North Carolina. And yes, one year, I think I was gone for like a solid month we had, you know, like 7 suitcases, and it was quite the trip. I went from like vacation to homeschool conference to retreat.
Well, now share with us a little bit. When you take vacations, I love seeing your photos of your vacations because it's like destinations and so much history in those destinations that you're going to. Do you use that as part of your education and teaching program?
Oh yeah, that's the hands-on field trips, and the kids really love that. We've been blessed to be able to travel to several different places, and I'm always looking up the museums and looking up what is offered in that area. Most recently, I got to kind of relive some of my childhood. We were traveling to Chicago for one of my husband's conferences, and got to go to the Shedd Aquarium at the Museum of Science and Industry, and then also the Field Museum. I don't remember which ones I said, but it was really neat. The kids really enjoyed that.
That's awesome. I love the fact that, as homeschooling moms, and we've got other things going on in life with our spouse or other extended family, we're able to not have to worry about pulling our kids out of school and racking up all of those absences that then point or deduct from their ability to go on to the next grade. We can really just incorporate life and as life happens and not be so tied to a school building. That's one thing that I really enjoy. Now, you had mentioned, people have different reasons for homeschooling. For me, when I first started homeschooling, it had to do with meeting my child where they're going to thrive the most. Now, 16 years later, it's because of the stuff that they're teaching in school, I do not agree with.
Right.
I do not think that my child should be exposed to some of the things that, fifth grade, they wanted to teach them sex ed. I'm sorry, not fifth grade. Let's say kindergarten, half 5 years old, get my fives right. They wanted to start introducing sex ed. And I'm like, no. And one thing that I really appreciate about you and your passion for homeschooling is the fact that primary education is the responsibility of parents, not the government. Our schools are controlled by the government. And I know that there are some amazing teachers and they went into the profession with great aspiration to be able to really help children and nurture children, but the government has their hands tied on what they can and can't do. And with homeschooling, that's something I have been able to have more control over. I don't know about you, but the fact that we have the same beliefs there with the primary education, I think can relate to or be empowering for other parents that are not happy with the way the schools are going in the public education. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I 100% agree, Becca. The state of the world and our culture is a huge influence as to why we continue to homeschool. And I think it's very important for parents to, find out who is their state organization if you're interested in, homeschooling, because those rights are something that are constantly being attacked from the top down. And if you aren't paying attention, it's very easy for those rights to be written away. Literally, a bill can be passed and create requirements that are unnecessary. There are forces in action trying to make homeschooling become illegal again. There's an organization called Homeschoolers Legal Defense Association, HSLDA, who supports homeschooling families if and when they come into any kind of conflict because of their homeschooling. So it's important to stay aware and also to not check out. So you veteran homeschool families out there, don't disappear once your kids are graduated. The newbies coming up need you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I mean, so many people have, you know, are really investing their time and energy into their children and in the school years, that it's like people who retire and then stop working, they stop living. But there is a place and a purpose for those that have been homeschoolers and continuing and helping with that. I'm glad you mentioned that. Share a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just been, you know, something on my heart, something that I've seen just here in our state, that we have, you know, wonderful, wonderful leadership. And then it seems to be about every 5, 6, 7 years, we're starting over again because the people who were leading, you know, their children have graduated and have moved on. And it is, you know, it is tiring. It's a kind of a relentless, you know, effort to put forth. And when you're in the thick of, you know, homeschooling your own kids, you don't maybe always have time to send out that email or, you know, send out the information that's coming up in the legislature. But to just, you know, continue to stay plugged in and continue to support those people coming up behind you, they need it. And we, things can change quickly. And I think it's important to pay attention.
I agree. And thank you so much for sharing on that. Empowering parents that have homeschooled in the past to be able to stay involved and stay instrumental in something that they had the passion enough to homeschool their own kids, to stay involved in different aspects. You know, as a homeschooler mom, I am not able to keep up with all the legislature that's going on because I'm focused on my kiddo. But if I have somebody that does have that passion to follow and the ability to share that information, just helps build the community and makes the community stronger so that we don't fall through any cracks that might be coming up under our noses.
Yeah, it is so important. And I'm, you know, blessed to live in a state that is one of the least regulated states for being able to homeschool. And we do have some great, you know, grassroots people who stay informed and go to Cheyenne and shoot down anything that is going to infringe on our homeschooling rights.
Well, a lot of our listeners are right here in California, and homeschooling is not dead in California. In fact, I think it's growing in all of the parents that are coming together as a community and fighting against things that they do not believe in that's being taught in school. So having that bond and having like the classical conversations as being a curriculum and a center to help guide through education, I think is so important to help keep parents keep focused, because it can be very overwhelming when you have so much going on around you that is against what you're doing. But to keep that community and stay strong is so important for the kids and their learning, and also the parents and their emotional health. Let's go back to one of the things that you are passionate about, and that is helping homeschool moms stay healthy. And we're going to extend this into not just moms, but dads too, because I know that is one of your passions. You know, as I know, that our bodies were divinely created, that we come from cells that come together and create this amazing, it's not by accident, it's not by chance, this amazing creation that was divinely created as our body, incorporating our minds, our souls, the whole thing. Just share with us a little bit of how important that is to you and how you have been drawn to have that heart of service to moms and helping them stay healthy as well.
Sure. Yeah, I will tell you that's probably the biggest objection I ever hear when I talk to people, you know, that I'm kind of being talking about, you know, homeschooling. They just say, oh, I could never do that. I don't have the patience for that. I don't have the stamina for that. It is important, you know, to keep yourself healthy, to, you know, get your own get your own rest, take care of your body, you know, do the different things that you need to do to keep your mind clear. And, you know, as far as, you know, trying to help mom stay healthy, I think so many of us fall into that category where we, you know, we give, and then, you know, we wonder why we're in bed for a week, you know, with the flu or headache, because we haven't taken the time to take care of ourselves. And when you are, you know, a wife and a mom and a homeschooling mom, you are pulled in a lot of different directions to take care of others. But it's still important to set aside that time that you can nurture yourself in the Word of God, nurture yourself with what you put into your body, give yourself that time, you know, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, depending on what season you are in with your kids, you know, finding that time to carve out and say, you know, this is my time that I'm going to read a book, you know, grow closer to God, that I'm going to be able to pray, because it's too easy to let all that stuff slide and to just get by and then feel frazzled and burned out and short-tempered. And I know in my own life, when those things start happening, when I start, you know, feeling frustrated or getting irritable or being short with my kids, that I've neglected myself. I have neglected that time needed to recuperate and recover and just be restored. So I get to see a lot of moms, you know, who, you know, have, you know, four or five kids and are in, you know, four different seasons of their life with their kids. And I just want to be able to encourage them to say, okay, I don't know where you're going to get that 5 minutes, but you need to make it happen. You know, find a nap time, find a quiet time, find a friend or a, you know, a relative who can help you for, you know, 30 minutes, a couple of times a week, that you get to have some downtime.
That is so important. And like you said, we're always give, and focusing our attention on others. We need to not forego giving our own selves the foundation of what we need to be able to thrive. Because if we're not thriving, then how are we supposed to help others thrive? And whether we homeschool or not, as parents, as friends, as aunts, uncles, grandparents, when we thrive, we're able to give more of ourselves to help others. And that is so empowering that we're able to do that and have control of that, because as a divine creation, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to. And I love how you mentioned, you know, taking time to pray and read the Bible and things that are not just focused on homeschooling. I know I find myself, okay, I'm going to take some time out. And then what do? Well, I'm researching something for another day's assignment. Yeah. I'm guilty of not literally taking time for myself and giving myself some regeneration time.
Yeah, it's so important. And I fall into that same trap. You know, it's like, I got to be at least one lesson ahead of my kids.
Yes, ahead of our kids or whatever else we're doing in life, wanting to stay on top of things is not always easy. And when we're hurting, when we're sick, it just makes it even harder. Through my own journey, I know that when I am feeling well and when I am not hurting, I am able to be a better person for those around me, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally. I'm a much nicer person when I'm not hurting, that's for sure.
Right. And be able to, you know, recognize those triggers in yourself so that you know, you know, when you're seeing that red light, you know, it's like, all right, time to go back and do the things that I know I need to do.
Absolutely. Now, Heather, I know that some of our listeners are really going to, you know, have some questions that you are in a perfect position to be able to answer and to help guide them with homeschooling stuff, with, you know, health as a mom. How can people reach you?
You know, the very best way to reach me is on Facebook, and I am listed there as Heather Watson Hager, and I do live here in Wyoming. Another way to get a hold of me would be through Instagram, and that is at Hez, H-E-Z, Hager, H-A-G-E-R. And then you, of course, can always use email also, and that is hezhager@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heather. So I anticipate that there will be some people reaching out to you, getting more information about Classical Conversations and the program that you use. I mean, I ask questions because I want to know too, for myself. So I love the fact that I'm able to bring information to people that I know that I'm interested in, and I know that there's others that are interested in as well. And living in a country where we still can be empowered, we can still make some choices for ourselves and take control in what we do as parents, as individuals. I just want to keep pushing for letting people realize that they can be empowered, that it is one of those things where you can have a better by the minute life, which is where I brought my radio program's name from, because that's where I was. I wanted every minute to be better than the minute before, and to create a life where I'm always moving forward and empowerment and improving myself and giving information that is going to help others with improving their life. Heather, thank you so much for joining me today. Our conversations will not end. We will be bringing lots of information that's going to be empowering and helpful and encouraging to others. Is there anything else that you would like to close with before we end?
Just to really examine your heart if you are a parent, and really consider the possibility of homeschooling and how you can help your children thrive and your family thrive through that. Thank you so much for having me, Becca.
Oh, thank you so much, Heather. I know that you've got a busy schedule also with your two kiddos and always on the road and doing stuff. So I greatly appreciate you taking this time to be with us this evening and sharing information that you have found to help you grow in your journey. Everybody, you have been listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. My name again is Becca Dukes. You can find information about myself and Heather on my website at betterbythemintelife.com. That's betterbythemintelife.com, where I have information that can help you to find ways to thrive in your everyday life. And also information about all my previous episodes and my episodes to come. Everybody have a wonderful evening. You have been listening to KSCO 1080 AM, Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Have a blessed night, and bye for now.